You got to see things that don't exist. You got to see beyond what you can see. So here's what happens. When they got there, well, let me give you another story there, because I don't want to get ahead of myself. This is a quick story. But I remember during COVID, they asked me to come and preach. I wasn't the pastor. I just was coming to fill in for a few weeks. And they asked me to come, and I think I preached for like 6 weeks or so during a kind of a time of transition. No one was in the building. One time they put a bunch of puppets out there for me to preach to, but that was it. I think, Kathy, you showed up every now and then, and maybe every week, and I'd get up here, and this place was absolutely empty. There was not a soul in here, but they would turn on the screens, and I'd start preaching to the lens of a camera like Perry does now all over the world. I'd start preaching, and I would stand back here. Braden and the team was up here worshiping to an empty house, and I would stand over here where I normally, I got a lot of shouting room over here, so I would stand over here, and I would say, Lord, You're not through with this place. I see it full, Lord. I see it full. And I would begin to prophesy, Warrior Fest, you're coming back. These walls will be filled with young people again. And I'm telling you, I could not help myself. I don't know if you were at Warrior Fest, but if you're at Warrior Fest, you couldn't keep up with me, because I was jumping in every service. You know why I was jumping? I wasn't jumping because I'm as young as they are. I'm jumping because I was witnessing a miracle. I was jumping because what I envisioned, I was seeing. What I saw in my spirit, I'm now seeing with my own eyes. I believed it could happen, and it happened. I believed God would bring it back, and He did. I believe God's going to fill it up, and He did. And guess what? I still see this place full. You just wait. You just wait. Where God finishes what He started, you'll have to come early to get a seat. You'll have to save a seat for your family and your neighbors. Look around you, folks. God is up to something. God is moving, and God is up to something. Hallelujah. It's bigger than you think. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's bigger than you think. Turn to somebody, it's bigger than you think. Don't settle for less. It's bigger than you think. Don't settle for less. God says more. Somebody shout more. More than enough. Shout more than enough. So how is that going to happen, Joshua? How is that going to happen, Dr. B? Well, verse 13, Joshua 5:13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, a man standing opposite of him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said, are you for us or our adversaries? That's a good question for a man with a sword in his hand. Are you for us or for his adversaries? When he looked at him, he thought he was just a man. Now, understand this. I'm going to tell you in a moment what the man said back to him, but you got to understand where they're at. They are in Jericho. They're not in Jerusalem. They are in Jericho. They're not in all the places that we know to be places of promise. Jericho, really? The place where Satan takes Jesus and says, I will give you the kingdoms of this world. Jericho, that wicked city that the good Samaritan got robbed on the road to Jericho. Really, this is Jericho. It doesn't matter how wicked it is. It doesn't matter how long the devil's been camping there. It doesn't matter how much property he owns, how much real estate he has, and who he has on his side. When God gets ready to invade something, he can do it all by himself. One step into a city can change an environment, can change a habitat because of the step of God. This wicked city is about to be invaded by God Almighty. They're about to get sanctified. Somebody shout, sanctified. This wicked city is about to get sanctified. How many of you can still believe with all the news, with all the bad news, with all the news station, with all the distrust, with all the bad politics? How many of you still believe God can sanctify the United States of America? How many of you still believe that God can bring revival to the United States of America? Have you lost your hope yet? Or do you think your hope is in someone bigger than a president and bigger than a court, bigger than a Supreme Court judge, bigger than the rulership of this world. No, there is a kingdom that is around this world, and there is a king. And if that king decides to walk on this land with his army, he can baptize America once again. He can sanctify America once again with a washing of revival. So God decided to sanctify the wicked city. And he's going to do it in three ways. This is what God does. And all of this has to do with OCI, so you got to pay attention, right? So show us the three ways, Jonathan, that he's going to do this. God is going to sanctify the old city of Jericho in three ways. He is, first of all, designating Jericho, the old wicked city, as the tithe of Canaan. All right, so he says you can't take anything out. This is the story of Achan where he stole something and they lost the battle. So the Lord says the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to call upon Jericho as the tithe of Canaan. You're going to invade them, but you can't take anything, not a nickel, not a shoelace. You got to give it all as a tithe to the Lord. I'm going to sanctify it with a tithe. The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to save souls there. If God invades anything, souls are saved. How many of you agree with that? If God invades anything, souls are saved. And then God said, I'm going to send my army to conquer the land. Don't worry about buildings, because every building's built on a foundation. If God conquers the land, whatever building's on there is going to get sanctified, right? So he starts off by saying, I want Jericho to be the tithe of Canaan. Now, I understand there's a lot of people that think the tithe is outdated. It's an Old Testament thing. And, you know, you do it the way you want to do it. And if you're, you know, I got to tell you, I'm a tither. I believe in tithing. I know that some people say, you know, you're a pastor. You don't have to tithe because it was for the Levite. You come way too late for me, man. I don't want to drive a car that's not been tithed on. I don't want to, this shoes have been tithed on. This shirt's been tithed on. This belt's been tithed on. My redhead's been tithed on. I mean, everything in my house, if you come to my house, the whole house been tithed on. I don't want to own anything that God hasn't blessed. I don't want to invite the devil. I'm not giving him an open portal anywhere. I know the tithe can open up windows of heaven and pour out blessings that I can't contain. Those are the kind of blessings I need. So if I'm going to run these four ministries and do all the things God asked me to do, I need a blessing that I can't contain, because Brian Cutshaw is not big enough for all that. I need something bigger than me. So here's what the Lord says. No, so let's go to Malachi for just a second. Bring the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. Everybody say, try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you. This is very personal. I'm going to open the windows for you. I'm going to pour it out for you. He says, blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. Somebody shout more. Okay, God, I'm happy with the little blessing and just getting by, but God says, if I can sow the seed into the kingdom, if I can trust him with what he's asked for me in the tithe, he can sanctify it in such a way that he will open up the windows of heaven and breathe upon it and pour out. I like that phrase, pour out a blessing that I cannot even begin to receive. What does that look like? Well, look at verse 11. I will rebuke the devour for your sake. That means everything that's been taking your money is going to go away. That means everybody that's been cheating you, God's going to call them out. That means every deal that's been breaking on you, God's going to fix it and turn it around. That means that God's going to give you favor upon favor upon favor. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. The tithe sanctified the land. The tithe of Jericho wasn't Canaan land. It was just one city. And the Lord says, if you give me that small thing, I will give you all of the lands of all of these seven nations that I promised you. So the tithe opened the door.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Here's the second thing the Lord said. He said, you're going to know that I've sanctified this wicked city because you're going to see someone get saved there. And we hear the story, and I don't have time to go into the whole story of Rahab, but we hear the story of Jericho, of this prostitute named Rahab, who hid the spies so that they would not be killed, let them down on a scarlet cord, and there's a great preaching there on that scarlet cord that I don't have time to go into, but let them down on a scarlet cord down on the other side of the wall and let them escape. And when the Lord said, take the tithe of Canaan, he said, the walls are going to fall, the city is going to be destroyed except for one little section. Every wall is going to fall except Rahab's house. Now, I don't know where Rahab lived, but that's got to be some sight. Everything is falling, and Rahab and her family are saying, oh, it could be us, but it falls on the right, it falls on the left, but when they get through, she's still there in her house. Everything falls, but I mean, the walls fall flat, the city falls flat, everything is dust except one little place where a prostitute and her family live, and the Lord says, you know I'm in the camp because people are getting saved. Now, I got to preach here for a moment. Just let me shout. If you're not a shouter, just bear with me. I'll shout for me and you both. But I got to tell you, I like church. Oh, yes, I like church. And you give me a Hammond B3 and LeBron backing me up, and I'll go to church. And I mean, that's fun preaching when you get there. You give me an Amen Corner and a B3 and a Leslie, hey, we can have some church. But you know what? There's more to having church than just feeling good. There's more to having church than just leaving better than I came. There's more to having church than me getting what I want. Real church means that somebody is getting saved. Real church means that I brought my neighbor and God healed his marriage. Real church means that I brought my son and God freed him from drugs. Real church means that a teenager walked in the door contemplating suicide and walked out wanting to be a missionary. Real church means that you don't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Yes, I like good singing, and I like good shouting, and I'm a dancer, so I like good dancing. I like it all. I like good preaching, but there is nothing that excites heaven more than when somebody comes and gives their heart to Jesus Christ. You know how we know God's moving in the promised land? Because of the miracle of salvation. And when I stood upon this stage at Warrior Fest, you know what I saw? I saw Rahab. I heard the Lord said, there was a young lady in Awaken. Her name is Leslie Bryant. Leslie came over to me. I'm standing there one night at the end of Warrior Fest, and the altars are still full, and I'm standing here behind the pulpit and just letting them know that the service is still going on and kind of giving them permission to continue to worship and pray. Let them know that we're still here, and we're here to encourage them. And she was sitting on the floor over there just crying, and she got up and she said, Dr. B, I got a word from the Lord. I said, okay, baby, lay it on me. And she said, the Lord said, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Now, she had no idea where I was going tonight. She had no idea that that was a sign to me that the Lord said, OCI, your past is over. You've crossed the Jordan, and now you're in a new season. That's what that meant to me. That did not mean to me that I was going to take off my shoes and get a blessing. What the Lord says is, you are a Joshua now, and I'm putting a sword in your hand, and you're about to conquer land in Cleveland, Tennessee, and around the world. What I heard the Lord say is, it's a time for new miracles. It's a season for new joy and new blessings and new prosperity. It's a new season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I heard her say that, I did exactly what she said. I kicked off my tennis shoes, and I stood there on holy ground, and God said, look around you. What do you see? And I said, Lord, I see young people. He said, no, you're looking at Rahab. You're looking at Rahab. This is sanctification is what you're looking at. You're looking at me sanctifying all over again. You're looking at me bringing Warrior Fest back. Your sons and daughters are coming back home. They have come back home. home. I've sent them back to you. I've heard the prayers of the saints. This is answered prayer. This is answered prophecy. This is God moving the way only God can move. And the Lord said, look around. Rahab is being saved. And can I tell you, I won't be satisfied. I won't be satisfied. No, no, no. I feel like a black preacher right now. So you just work with me. I won't be satisfied until, somebody shout until. I won't be satisfied until somebody is getting saved every Tuesday night. We can shout all we want to, but we're going to be a real move of God when people start walking these aisles in salvation. I call them in from Lee University. I call them in from Cleveland State College. I call them in from the Mars Company. I call them in from every factory in Cleveland, Tennessee. I call them off the streets. I call them in from every city, from every holler, from every back alley. I call them in from the side streets and the counties. I call them in from North Carolina, from Georgia. I call them in from Virginia. I call them in Jesus' name. They'll be coming in to find Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. How do I know I'm in church? Because somebody got saved. How do I know I'm in church? Because a life has been changed. How do I know I'm in church? Because Rahab has found the Lord. There's another scarlet cord. There's another scarlet cord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh. I'll take all the rejects that every other church doesn't want. Bring them in. Let them find a place of refuge. You got to accept people before God can heal them. We'll accept you, but we won't leave you there. Come in wearing what you want to wear. Come in smelling however you smell. Come in looking like a boy or a girl. It don't matter to me, even if you're confused. But I promise you one thing, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm after. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. I want Rahab to find the Lord. I want Rahab to find the altar. Thank you, Lord, for good church. Thank you, God, for shouting saints. Thank you, God, for great old songs. But somebody needs to get saved. Somebody needs to get saved. That's when you know that God is moving in the camp. I saw Warrior Fest, hundreds getting saved. And last week, so Taylor, can I honor your mama tonight? Last Saturday, I preached the funeral of Taylor's sweet mama and Carrington's sweet mama, Ashley's mother-in-law. I preached the funeral over at Dixon Chapel in North Cleveland. And they had one request, and it was something I do anyway. But they said, Dr. B, at the end, this room is going to be filled with people who don't know the Lord. Just give an altar call for salvation. See, that's when you know God's moving. And we can cry, we can shout, we can dance, but you know God's moving when people are getting saved. So we talked about her journey into heaven. But when we got through, I came back and said, I want to know if there's anybody in this room that doesn't know Jesus Christ. There are three sections in the Dixon Chapel, and at least one, some more, but someone in all three sections raised their hand and said, today I want to give my heart back to Jesus Christ. There were hands, some of them were just like this. You could tell they really didn't want to go high. Some of them you could tell they weren't even really sure what they were signing up for. There was a couple of these, but most of them were just like this. Like, I'm over here. Can you see this? I saw it. I was standing in the front. I saw it. And guess what? We prayed the sinner's prayer. That whole congregation prayed the sinner's prayer. And today there are new names written down in glory. How do I know we're in God's will? Because somebody is getting saved. Well, I got to finish up now. One more thing. God sent his army there to conquer. When God sends his army, he makes the land holy. The land holy. Chapter 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite of him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or our adversary?" So he said, "No, but as the commander," oh, not just anybody, "as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said, "Only one thing, take off your shoes. You're standing on the ground you're standing on is already holy." Now I got to say a couple things with this. First of all, the man's sword is drawn. He did not draw his sword on Joshua. He had a drawn sword because he had already arrived to Jericho before they did. I can just see it this way. You know, I may preach this later, but tonight it's going to be a hit and run. I can see him giving him the marching orders around Jericho and saying, "Listen, man, we've been waiting on you for 40 years. Can you just get this over with? God sent us here the day he sent you out. We have been guarding this land for you. We have been singing on it and walking on it, and we have been holding worship services on it. We've had seraphim come down with us and cherubim come down with us and archangels. We've been roasting hot dogs around the fire camping because the Lord sends the camping angels to deliver you. We have had no one to deliver. We've been waiting for 40 years. I know you're tired. I know it's been long. I know it's been hard, but I don't need you to draw a sword. I don't need you to draw a bow. I don't even need you to get out your Swiss pocket knife. I don't need anything from you. I just want to know one thing. After all you've been through, can you still show up with a shout? That's all I need. I just need a shout. I don't need an army. I've got an army. God said, march around the city on the seventh day. March around it seven times. Blow your trumpets and shout, and God will give you the city because the angels have already conquered the city.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.